Good evening and welcome. Welcome to all. It is good to be in God's house. It is good to be in God's house to give praise to Him, to give thanks to Him. When you think about Thanksgiving, especially on this Thanksgiving week, we have the service, 9:30, Thanksgiving morning this Thursday, and it is good to give thanks to God every day. And so, people of God, let us begin our service tonight, coming before our Lord in a moment of silent, reverent prayer before Him. And if you would stand, then, if able, our call to worship coming from the Psalms, from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Indeed, I now ask you, congregation, where does your help come from?
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Let us receive, then, God's greeting this evening. To those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Amen. People of God, let us open in song 210. 210, one of the oldest hymns in our Trinity Psalter hymnal. Let's sing all the stanzas of 210 together.
Thank you.
Amen. And what a beautiful old hymn to bring us to that old confession. That old confession of the essential truths of the Christian faith, page 148 in the Forms and Prayers book. Christian, I now ask you all, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I'll say another word about Bernie before our congregational prayer tonight, Bernie Voskel. I was able to see him again this afternoon. He was agitated, but also responsive, and so he sang a couple lines of Jesus Loves Me. He sang a couple lines of Amazing Grace. We know that Bernie really loves to sing. Another thing that I will always remember about Bernie is that basically every time I would read scripture with him, he would say when scripture reading was done, "That's very true." And today, when I finished singing Amazing Grace, he said, "That's true." That's one of the clearest things he said while I was there. So he is he's agitated. He is fighting the last enemy, but he knows the truth of who his Savior is. And that is a reason to rejoice. And he's had many years on this earth. He has been ready to go for some time. With that, people of God, let us come now before our Lord in prayer. Lord God, our Father, for you alone may our soul wait. May you alone be the only place of our trust, of our hope, of our soul's desire. You are our only foundation, our only rock, our only refuge. And so, Lord God, may it be that we come before you, not only with a voiced prayer, but with united hearts. United hearts in our dependence upon you. And you alone can direct our hearts as they ought to be directed. You alone can change our hearts as our hearts must be changed. You are our salvation and our assurance. And as we think about that word assurance, we pray that that word would be especially set upon the now struggling Bernie, our brother, our oldest brother. Lord God, press the reality of assurance and what Jesus has done onto his heart, as you have for so many decades. Do it now for as long as he has left battling that last enemy. Help him to put on the armor of God one last time, to be reminded of that assurance of who you are through every minute that he has left. And Lord, be with his family. We think of the frustration of them not being allowed to see their father, Lord, until just a couple of days ago. Lord God, help them at this time. We pray, O Lord, as we think of the assurance of salvation in you, which we all need, and which all the world must hear, that you would be with the declaration of truth and of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ as it goes forth. We pray that it would go forth powerfully. We think of the work of Steve and Sandy Frieswick through Africa Inland Missions in Ontario. We think of the work of those such as Reverend Alan Vanderpool and the teaching of teachers in that wonderful ministry then of Mints. And Lord, not an easy time to do such a labor. So much of the world impacted in such a variety of ways. But we pray that you would strengthen Reverend Vanderpool and the rest of the Mints teaching ministry. We pray also for Reverend Magali and the work with the Muslims out of Ontario. Work done out of Ontario with a goal of touching much broader reach. And so we think of this Arabic language spoken by so many who are one of the two perversions, along with Judaism, of the Christian faith, and of the great need to hear who Jesus really is and who the great prophet really is. And so we think even of the recent translation efforts of Promise and Deliverance into Arabic. Lord, we pray that you would provide the funds for this to be widely distributed, widely read, to touch many hearts. We think also of their ongoing TV ministries, and also of their seeking to establish online ministries, and that they are in need of assistance for this. Lord God, provide in every way. And we know that many who are in the Muslim faith have to inquire carefully of Christianity, and that the internet then has been a great blessing to them, that many of them are able in that way to get a hold of materials, including Scripture itself and faithful teaching on Scripture being the final authority. Lord, may you use Reverend Magali and others who labor in such a way to reach the huge Muslim population of this world, and to do so in Arabic as well. Lord God, we think of sister churches within our classes. This evening we think of Redeemer URC. We think also of Covenant Reformed Church in Pella. Lord, we pray that you would be with the brothers and sisters in Christ in these places, with the labors of Reverend DeRoy, and of the need for a new minister, Pella being now vacant. We pray that you would provide one who would be faithful to proclaim your word and minister to your people in that place. And Lord, we know that the body of Christ is in need of many hands of service, many who would labor in many ways. Lord God, we give thanks for those who step up and serve in so many ways, visible and less visible in this church. We give thanks for hands and hearts ready to do this, and pray that you would continue to have your church built up in such a way. Lord, we pray as we think of our hands and our feet, that this would all be guided by our heart and what comes to our heart through our ears. And so we think especially of your word itself, of the coming of your word into our heart through the eyes and ears of personal devotion, and through the particular proclamation week to week of your word. And so, Lord, we give thanks that we are here tonight, that your word can be freely proclaimed. And we pray as we as we think of our nation, that you would protect religious freedom, that you would protect your church especially. And Lord, we give thanks that this night we can freely proclaim your gospel, and we pray that it would indeed, that it would indeed touch our very hearts. And Lord, that in short, we would serve you, that we would obey you, that we would love you in every way. And so it is that we pray in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us, people of God, stand to sing a song of preparation, number 233. Let's stand and sing all the stanzas of 233. Amen. Let us come then, people of God, our confessional reading this evening, Lord's Day 46, page 253 in the Forms and Prayers book. Question and answers 120 and 121. I'll read the questions, and together we can say the answers. Lord's Day 46, question 120. Why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? To awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer, what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ God has become our Father and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than will our parents refuse us the things of this life. Turning the page, question 121. Why the words, "Who is in heaven?" These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way, and to expect from His almighty power everything needed for body and soul. Let us turn then to the very Word of God from the faithful summary of the Word to the Word itself. Luke chapter 11. Page 1105 in most of the Pew Bibles, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 11. Where we read the slightly less familiar, slightly shorter version of the Lord's Prayer. So we'll read Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Let us hear God's word. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him"? And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not give up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So far the reading. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our Lord endures forever. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must have a teachable spirit when it comes to prayer. We have the Lord's Prayer recorded for us in 2 different places. In Matthew, it is taught to the multitudes during the Galilean ministry, and the disciples were there, but now they are sometime down the road. They're now past the Galilean ministry and on the way to Jerusalem, just beginning that journey here in Luke. And they see Jesus praying again, and they ask Jesus to again teach them about prayer. And so what does our Savior do? Well, he teaches them the Lord's Prayer again, now in a different place, now a little bit later, now in private, a little bit shorter, a few different details accompanying it, but he teaches them the same prayer. When we go through the catechism, do we need to go through the Ten Commandments? Do we need to go through prayer? So systematically, year by year, it is a good thing, people of God. It is a good thing to have a teachable spirit, to be constantly thinking about prayer, to be working through prayer, even systematically, from one year to another. And we learn this even from the teachable spirit of the disciples here. They asked Jesus again to teach them about prayer. And again, he teaches them. And so we have the Lord's Prayer here in Luke. And we see certainly that we must be coming to our Father, and that in our coming to our Father, we can ask for all things, especially the Holy Spirit. And so our points are who we ask from, how we ask, and what we ask for. Well, who we ask from, our first point, as it says in Matthew 27, our Father. Here it's only one word, just simply Father. Father. And it's true that while we can come before the Lord God with other names, this is an especially appropriate way to begin our prayers. As question answer 120 says, that the word Father is a word which awakens in us at the very beginning of our prayer that which should be basic to it, especially that childlike reverence and trust. So the name of Father is an especially appropriate name, an especially sweet name by which we can come to our God. Some have known the joy of a godly father on this earth. Some have felt the pain of an absent or unkind father. But either way, we all have the same idea of the reality of the great blessings of a loving father. Either we know it in having had that blessing, or we feel the pain of the absence of that blessing. And God is the perfect heavenly Father, and that's an especially appropriate way to address God in prayer. He is really our Father. Galatians chapter 4 speaks of this. We were not in Galatians this morning, but we'll turn to Galatians chapter 4, and we'll turn there once this evening. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7, where we also hear words about salvation and how we are saved and how this ties to our really being the children of God. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of women, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins because we were lost in our sins. Born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have every right to use this title, and it's an especially appropriate title to come to God in prayer. But it is not the only way that we can come to God in prayer. And we shouldn't even think only of the first person of the Trinity, even when we say Father, but in the beginning of our prayers at all. Thomas Watson wrote this, his reflections on the Lord's Prayer. Quote, though the Father only be named in the Lord's Prayer, yet the other two persons are not excluded. The Father is mentioned because he is first in order, but the Son and Holy Ghost are included because they are the same in essence. As all the three persons subsist in one Godhead, so in our prayers, though we name but one person, we must pray to all. End of quote. And certainly there's no division within the Holy Trinity. And even as we emphasize that first person, God the Father, and we use that title Father, even in a special way, there are other ways that it's appropriate to begin our prayers. And Scripture speaks of this. We have examples of this. We could think of Acts chapter 7 when Stephen is being martyred and he cries out and he gives the word of prayer as he's being martyred. And how does he begin that prayer? In Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You see, we can begin our prayers by saying, Lord Jesus. We don't have to pray to the Father in the name of the Son. That's appropriate. The Father is the first person in the Trinity. Christ is our mediator. So we might even say that's the normal way to pray. But it's not the only way to pray. Also in Jude 20, we read, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. You see, there the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, is who we come before, even as Father is a special name. And so this is who we ask. This is who we come to in prayer. Now, how do we ask? How do we ask? Well, first we ask with freedom. And I ask that you, while looking at Luke chapter 11, verse 2, while you're looking at Luke 11, verse 2, I'm going to read from Matthew 6, verse 9. Listen for the slight difference in the few words of introduction to the Lord's Prayer, the two different times when Jesus taught it. In Matthew 6, verse 9, it says this: "Pray then like this." Pray then like this. Or as some have translated Matthew 6, 9, "This is how you should pray." Did you see the difference? What does it say in Luke 11? "When you pray, say." What does this slight difference teach us? You see, we have the freedom to pray with the Lord's Prayer as a model for prayer, or to actually pray the Lord's Prayer word for word. That's what the slight difference in those introductions says, isn't it? "When you pray, say." In other words, you can literally say these words verbatim, word for word. Or, "This is how you should pray. This is an example of how you should pray. This is a model for your prayers." Or, as Martin Luther said it, "You can pray through the Lord's Prayer." You see, there is a freedom here, people of God. We have the freedom to pray word-for-word form prayers. For our young people, this can be especially beneficial. How many of you, among the first prayers you learned to pray the Lord's Prayer itself? "As I lay me down to sleep, Lord, bless this food and drink." We have every right to pray form prayers, including especially the Lord's Prayer itself, and especially the Psalms, word for word. There's nothing wrong with that. We have every right to do this. We also have the freedom to use them as a basic model. We also have the freedom to have our own words entirely guided by the truths of Scripture. We have freedom in our prayers. We might say one more word about our freedom of prayers. Last week, we spoke about the blessings of extended fellowship with God. But do we have the freedom to pray short prayers? Must every prayer be a long prayer? Well, the Lord's Prayer isn't very long, is it? We see the words here in Luke are probably a little bit different than Matthew 6. I imagine we're more familiar with Matthew 6. But it's not really the difference between a long version and a short version. It's the difference between a short version and a shorter version. The Lord's Prayer is not long. And there are other prayers in Scripture. We have examples of longer prayers, but there are other prayers that are shorter. Is not one of the more famous prayers of Scripture a seven-word prayer in Luke chapter 18? "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." That is not a long prayer, but it's one of the greatest examples of a prayer we see in Scripture. It's in a parable. "Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner." We're going to speak about persistence in prayer, which we see especially in our text. Let's pause just a moment. Think about "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Of course, our prayers must be humble. And let's say at this point, we speak about this often, that our prayers must be humble. Let's just pause here and say humble in every way. Humble in the sense of the publican confessing his sins. Humble in our acknowledgement that we are the lesser coming to the greater. In short, we are earthly sinners coming to our good heavenly Father. And even though that's one of the lines that Luke does not include in the Lord's Prayer, we still see it in our text. And we see that contrast between our own evil nature, such that in verse 13, every earthly father is called what? An evil father. How can that be done? How can Jesus say that? Because we're all evil and sinful by nature. We are all in need of salvation. We are all in need of our sinless Savior, Jesus Christ. How then, you who are evil, even you know how to good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? So we pray with freedom. We pray with humility. We pray with persistence. And that's what we see in the really extended illustration. It's not a parable. It's an extended illustration, verses 5 through 8, and then explained in verses 9 through 13. We can think of that word impudence in the middle of verse 8. Some have translated that, and it perhaps should be translated persistence. We must pray with persistence. And here the illustration is a man coming at night. He has no bread to give to his friend, so he goes to his other friend, his neighbor, and says, "Help me out. I need some bread for my house." And houses were smaller back then. So the man says, "No, I don't want to get up and trip over my children and wake them up. And, you know, just go home. I'm not getting up in the middle of the night." And he says, no, like, "My other friend has come to my house. He needs bread. Get up and come and give it to me." And then he didn't get up immediately, even though he's his friend, but because of his impudence, because of his persistence, he gets up. Because of his persistence, he gets up. We can express this same illustration, the same basic illustration, just slightly differently. Have you ever knocked on a door, and it's a door of a house where you don't know anyone, and you don't know if they're home? Maybe you're dropping something off. You don't knock with much conviction, right? You just kind of, you knock a little bit. All right, maybe they'll come. I'll be able to share my flyer or whatever. And if nobody comes right away, then you go. Well, that's one way of knocking. That's not what's going on in this illustration, is it? No, this is more like, "I'm coming home. I forgot my keys. I'm locked out of my own house, and I know someone's there. I know someone's there, not just any random person, but my own family. I don't have my keys. I need to get into my own house. I am knocking with persistence. I'm knocking loudly, and I'm confident someone's going to come and let me in." You know, maybe I'm holding groceries in one hand. I'm like, you know, let me in. That's what's going on here, isn't it? That's the extended illustration here. It's a knocking where you know it will be answered. And people of God, we are all sinners. We are all evil. But you know someone's going to answer. How much more, Jesus says, how much more will God answer? Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Knock and it will be opened. Now, what do we ask for? Let us note, even in the illustration, he's asking for something appropriate, even something appropriate for waking up your friend in the middle of the night. He needs to feed his hungry friend who just got into town. And so we're not just talking about anything. We can put it this way. How does the end of question and answer 121 put it? To expect from his almighty power everything needed for body and soul. That word "needed" there is an important word, isn't it? Is not one of the very first lessons that we learn as children that there's a great difference between what I want and what I need? Everything that is needed. Not everything you want. Not every single thing you ask for. But those things that are good things. Those things which, as we read so clearly in 1 John, which are in accordance with the will of God. And on the very top of that list is the greatest gift, as we'll end this point with, the Holy Spirit. But as Luke mentions the Holy Spirit here in Luke 11, verse 13, in the parallel passage in Matthew 7, 11, Jesus says, "How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him. So for those things which are needed, those things which are good things, that is certainly part of what we ask for. Again, not what I want, what I need, not anything which goes against the will of God, but good things. It is good to ask for good things. It is good to ask for that which is needed. And these things are given. God does give these things. But of course, we cannot think only of good gifts. We cannot think only of physical needs. Because if we do this, we have missed the greatest part. We have missed the greatest gift. And that's the gift, which is the focus at the end of Luke 11, verse 13. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? Here is the greatest gift, the greatest answered prayer, the miraculous answered prayer. We are evil, born in sin. We are in need of salvation. What is the miraculous answer to prayer? When the Holy Spirit makes hearts new. When the Holy Spirit continues to mold and shape our hearts for service to God. This is the greatest gift. This is the miraculous prayer answered. And for all of God's people, for all who ask in faith by Jesus Christ and through what Jesus Christ has done, this prayer is answered. It is absolutely answered. Are you one of God's people and you struggle in sanctification and assurance? Ask for the Holy Spirit. And that miraculous greatest gift will be given to you. There's real assurance for the people of God. There's real sanctification for the people of God. Are you rebelling against God? Denying him? Living against him? Repent. By the work of the Son, come into that blessed adoption and ask that the Holy Spirit would indeed change your heart. And if you ask in true faith, that prayer, that miraculous prayer, is answered. This is the greatest gift. This is life itself. We are those who belong to the Spirit, if we are the people of God, to take a word from Romans 8:8-11. People of God, we know who we come to. We come to the triune God. Let us know that included in how we come is persistence, humility, even as we have freedom in these things. And may our requests be focused on that greatest gift. We don't need to forget the things we need. We don't need to forget the good gifts. But we focus on the greatest gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, make the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, to dwell in us, to change us, to influence us. May we be the children of God. May we be part of the flock of Jesus, our shepherd. May we be those living by the influence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. This we pray by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us, people of God, stand then and sing a psalm of joy and salvation and God our Father, 103D, 103D, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Time now, people of God, for our evening gifts and offerings this evening. That is for the general fund. Following this, our benediction and the doxology, 150C, stanza 3. 150C, stanza 3. You would stand, people of God, for the parting blessing of our God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.